I'm thankful for this opportunity for us to be together. We're all headed for eternity, and we need the Lord to be able to visit us. And you know, in ourselves, there's not a thing we can do that I could say that would be a help to you, except that the Lord would inspire it. So we need him this week. Think of the verse that says in Psalms 127:1, except the Lord build a house, they're going to labor in vain to build it. You know, we can spend all week coming together. If the Lord does not help us out, we're going to be in vain. They'll be in vain to build it. Except the Lord keep a city, the watchman's going to wake in vain. But we have a confidence that the Lord wants to help us out. We come here with an open heart to receive from the Lord. I believe he's willing to do that. I thought of, what's our desire this week? You know, really, I need the Lord myself. None of us know what tomorrow holds. I know that the Lord knows. And my desire is that he would help me and help us all. That we will have tools that would be able to help us to be able to take on the things that are out ahead for us and make heaven our home. I was thinking of just as the Sermon on the Mount ended, it tells about in the 24th verse of the 7th chapter of Matthew, therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. You know, that's the most important thing, not just the hearing of it, but the doing of it. Whoever does that, hears it and does it, I'm going to liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Rain descended, the floods came, winds blew, beat upon it, and it fell not, for it's founded upon a rock. We've read this little portion of Scripture many times. But you know, if we liken that to our life, it gets a lot more serious. Because I see in this that the rains descended and the floods came on both. It came on the wise man and it came on the foolish man. It came on the one that heard the sayings and did them. It came on the one that heard the sayings and did not do them. What I want to do is have an open heart, that not only do I hear the word of the Lord, but I am open to do it. Yes. I've got something that over the last couple of weeks, I feel like the Lord has dealt with me that this is the service to share this with. Yesterday was our election. And you know, we don't get into politics in the church. But you know what? Our soul is involved of what we do with the things that happen. What is the Christian's responsibility at this time? You know, that's really all that's important for me. Because we heard tonight about the wise and the foolish virgins. You know, when we take that and apply that to our life, that stretches out into eternity. When it says, my lamp is gone out, there was no time to refuel it. So when I look at that, it's the seriousness that comes to me is, I don't want to be in that place when my time comes to go. I want to be ready when the Lord calls for me. So I want to know, what is my responsibility as a Christian in this day that we're living in? We see the riots that are going on. We see the unrest. As far as I know tonight, it has not been decided who the president will be. When it is decided, there's going to be right at 50% that are not going to be happy in the nation. There's not a lot I can do about that. But you know what? My soul hinges on what I do about my attitude. Because I have heard ministers say before, there are going to be a lot of people lost from an attitude that went bad. So, let's take a look at what the Lord would have our attitude to be and have his blessings on it today. And we're going to need to be able to do that, we're going to have something to compare with. So I'd like to go to John 18 and 33. says, Pilate entered the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, Art thou the King of the Jews? And go down to the 36th verse is what I want to take for tonight. Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. That is what's going to be very important for us over the time out ahead for all of us. If I'm a Christian, I'm in a kingdom that is not of this world. And he said, to verify that, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. So you know, you turn that thing around, his kingdom is not of this world, so he does not expect his servants to fight. That I would not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. If I am a Christian, I need to remember this portion of scripture out in the future. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And yet, we all have to continue living in this world as a Christian. How do I do it and have his approval on my life? The title that I would like to give to this tonight is Respect for Authority. I have a dual citizenship. I live in America, but I also claim to be a citizen of another country. Yes. You remember in Hebrews 11 and 13, said there was a group of people that confessed that they were a stranger and a pilgrim on this earth, that they were seeking a city where Christ, where God was willing to be called their God. You know, I need to keep in mind that I'm a citizen of another country if I'm a Christian. Yes, I have business to conduct while I'm here, but I'm headed for another country. So I've got some laws that this land puts on me to obey while I'm here. But you know, because I'm a citizen of another country, the Word of God gives me laws of how to make heaven my home. And you know what? Some of those deal with what my attitude should be toward those that are in authority. You know, it's amazing to me. When Jesus came, he would have been very well accepted. It was expected that he would deliver them from the Romans. If he would have, they would have been happy for him to be their king. But if you will search through the Bible, when Jesus was here, I don't find any place, hardly, where he went to take people from the condition they were in of oppression. But what he worked with was what the attitude would be while in oppression. And you know, that's the most important thing anyhow. Because whether it's about an election or about my job or anything else, my attitude is real important. And so I want tonight to search the Word of God for a little bit to see how Jesus took a look at authority in this on this earth. How did he take a look at it? I'd like to go to Mark the 12th chapter, because there were people that tested Jesus in their words, asking him some questions. In Mark the 12th chapter and in the 14th verse, they came to him and they asked this question. When they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God and in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? And so what they're trying to do is tempt the Lord. You want to stand out against the government? Talk to us about it here. Or do you want us to tell, you want to tell us, hey, you're from another kingdom, you don't need to obey the laws of the land here. You know what he did? He could have given them a speech about the oppression from the Romans and how bad it was and how terrible that any of them even had to pay tribute. He didn't say anything about that. What he said was, you render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but you render to God the things that are God's. That is something that's going to be real important for us. Because what I can do is, in this time that we're living in, I can get kind of caught up in the things that are happening, whatever way it goes in the next few days. But what's going to be real important, you know, Jesus said this in John 14 and 30. This was a testimony of what his heart was. The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. You remember where Satan would be able to come by and I've got something that he owns. Folks, it can be an attitude that he can claim. But the prince of this world come by in the times that we're living in. But I do not have anything that belongs to him. I was thinking of the verse, ye are the light of the world. Your city set on a hill cannot be hid. And we sing a song sometimes, so when the world looks upon you, nothing but Christ is in view. I want to tell you, as the world gets darker, as we have more trouble around us, a Christian's light is going to shine more. And we have that opportunity for it to happen. Jesus' mission was to help people to be able to control their attitude, to have the right attitude toward others. I'd like to look at a verse that tells that. Matthew 5 and 43. Ye have heard it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. So this tonight is not just about the government. This is about anything that can happen to us. And this dual citizenship that I claim to have, that I live here, I follow these rules here, but I also follow the word of God because I'm headed to another country. I want to make heaven my home. And Jesus said, I'll tell you what, here's what you do. I'm not going to get rid of your enemies. What I want you to do is love your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. We find in the scriptures where Jesus had some verses where he talked to servants. You know what? Those servants back then were slaves. They had no rights of their own. It's hard for us to even comprehend that because we live in a free country where we can do whatever we want to do. But I was thinking of a verse over in 1 Timothy in the 6th chapter. Here's what the Word of God, where Paul gave them some instruction. What if you were a servant? Maybe what your goal was I'd like to be able, I'd like for Jesus to come along and just set me free. Tell me I don't have to be a servant to anyone. But what did Paul say? Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. So let's think about that for a little bit. I'm not a slave. I'm not a servant. Or am I? I go to work for someone every day, and they tell me what to do. But you know what I can say, or some people have said this, I'm not a servant. I'm not a slave. I can walk off this job anytime I want to. And as I'm walking out the door, I can give them a piece of my mind. You ever heard that? Yeah. Except if we have a dual citizenship to where I'm also following the laws of another country that I'm going to, and it gives me other instructions. The Word of God gives me instructions about how I use my tongue, about what I can say and still have His approval stamped on my life. I was looking at a verse in James, the 1st chapter, James 1 and 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. In this day and time, may we take this scripture, because I have a desire to go to heaven. I want to follow what it says I need to do to be able to make it. Here's one of them. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, because the wrath of man does not work what God is wanting to have, the righteousness of God. We live in America to where we have freedom of speech. That seems like a wonderful thing. I can say whatever comes to my mind and not be in trouble for it. I can say it in the face of the president and nothing comes from it. You know, there are places in this world today that if you tried that to a leader, you'd lose your life. I believe if you went to North Korea and you stood in front of him and you said what some people say to the president here. And see, I can say this tonight because we don't know who's going to be the president tomorrow. It's for us, each one, to guard ourselves. Because I'm also trying to head for this other country. And I want to be able to make it. And I can miss the other one by not following the rules for this one. In Ephesians 4 and 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. Says 31st, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Look at some instructions that we have. How different would it be in America if everyone followed the laws of this one? Boy, this would be like heaven on earth. This would be, we'd be saying, Lord, you don't need to come back and take us to another place. This is like heaven now. And yet, I can't do much about all the other millions of people, but I can guard myself, and I can be pleasing to the Lord while I'm here and have his favor on me. You know, the words that come out of my mouth were produced by a thought. It's very seldom that we say something that we didn't think about for at least just a little bit. It came to our mind. So there is instruction given to me in the Word of God that tells me start working on what I think about. In Philippians 4 and 8, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So what does God require of me to have respect for authority down here? You know, all my life, when I have the red lights of a police car come on, have you ever been going down the interstate, not really watching your speed limit, and then you see a car parked on the side of the road, and just as you pass him, you realize who that is. It's not a car broke down. He's been checking my speed. And he turns on his lights, and he comes in behind me. It changes my pulse rate. My heart goes to pumping. You know what I say to him when he comes up to my window? It's all yes, sir, no, sir. The highest regard for him. Because you know what? He's got my future in his hands for the next few minutes. I can say something back to him and pay for it for a long time. But you know, we're living in a time, boy, there's been a lot of things change lately in our world. When you can look at pictures of a protester standing in front of an officer's face shouting at him, or throwing something at him, or burning his police car. Our nation has lost respect for authority. And what can happen as it erodes in the nation around me, if I'm not careful, I can slip a little bit from the place that God would have me to stay as a Christian. There was a time that, and it wasn't so long ago, that when the ballots were counted for a president, and he was put in office, you know, there was a level of respect that went with that office. There was a place to where, whether it was who I wanted in there or not, I had a regard for the office, a respect for the office. That has been lost. But you know what, for myself, this is a good time for the Christian. I just need to tighten up, because I can be a better example today than we have ever been able to be before. There's a song that we sing, Holy Bible, You're the Safest Guide Through This Dark World. And it wants to give me instruction in this area of my life, the area that's going to affect me and a whole lot of other people over the next days out ahead. I'd like to look at a verse in 2 Peter 2 and 10. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, they despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. We see that around us today. And what I need to do is recognize what's happening and then say, Lord, I can't change that for the world around me. But Lord, help me to be on guard that I'm not a partaker of that. Because here, what a contrast of that and the follower of Christ. Because we can go over to 1 Peter, the second chapter. And that's what I want to be finding is, okay, Lord, I'm still over here. I've got a citizenship here in America. But I've also have a claim that I'm headed for another country. And your law, Lord, overlaps the two of them. You tell me how I should be living here to be able to live there. So I look at this one, 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, and the 13th verse starts giving me some instruction. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And look on down in the 17th verse. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. For us to be able to have a respect for authority. You know, we don't hear too much about it anymore. But we used to hear a lot about the golden rule. What's the golden rule? Matthew 7 and 12. What if we all practiced it? What if America said tomorrow, each person follow the golden rule today? How would it change things? What does it say? As you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. Whether they do it back to you or not, here's how I conduct my life. First of all, check and see. Would I like for them to come spray paint my house? Then don't go spray paint theirs. If I would like for them to burn my storefront, nope, wouldn't want it. Well, don't do that. Well, you know what? We can't do much with the world around us. But you know what happens is things can change to where I wouldn't do that. But I want to please the Lord with my thoughts that go through my head. Because this citizenship that I claim as a Christian is so much higher than the other one. It requires so much more of me to be an example of the believers. There's something else that I want us to remember tonight and in the days ahead. God still works in the affairs of men. Where do we find that? It's over in the book of Daniel. And we need to remember this because God's still going to be in control. Where did this come from? Where did that verse come from? Second chapter of Daniel and the 19th verse. You remember where this happened? The king had a dream, and no one, first of all, they said, would you tell me the dream and I'll tell you the answer. He said, I forgot the dream. Now you tell me what the dream was and the answer. They said it can't be done. So he said, okay, all the wise men will be killed. Well, Daniel heard about it, and he sent word to him, hey, hang on just a little bit. I know a God that's able to reveal these dreams. And when it gets on down in the 19th verse, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings. He setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. You believe that God sets up kings and takes down kings? If you could talk to Nebuchadnezzar, he'd say, let me tell you, he does. Because he took it from me and I was 7 years eating grass like an ox before he gave it back. That is an amazing story. Because in those 7 years that he was eating grass as an ox, and then his mental capabilities returned to him, all those people that had been his subjects and had seen him eating grass like an ox for 7 years returned to follow him. That is an amazing story. You know what? God was able to work on their hearts just like he changed his heart. And you know, at the end of that, Nebuchadnezzar said, I'll tell you what, I praise and extol this God of heaven. He's able to put them up. He's able to take them down. And that's an area that I put into God's hands. And what I do is say, Lord, help me to respect the authority that I'm under while I'm here. I'd like to look at another verse, and then I have some examples that I'd like to share with you. Romans in the 13th chapter, there's a few verses here that give me some instruction. This is not talking about a minister. This is talking about me being subject. It says, be subject to the higher powers. If you follow these verses through the 8th verse, this is not talking about a minister. This is talking about those that are in authority over me in this country. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. There is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Do we believe that? In our country, God has allowed there to be some order set for following rules. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. These 8 verses will follow me for whoever becomes the next president. It will also follow me for who are the leaders of my town. And it's up to me to have a respect for the office, realizing that God ordained it. I'd like to give you an example. If we followed the story of David, Samuel came and anointed David many years before he became king. David had a respect for Saul and the office that he held when Saul was so far in the wrong. I was looking at some places where David, an opportunity came to David to make a change. David was at a place that he could take Saul's life. In the 24th chapter of 1 Samuel, this is one of the places. I'd like for you to think about this when we're talking about respecting authority. David has run now for a long time, and now Saul plays into his hands. Fourth verse, the men of David said unto him, here David is in a cave. They're hidden there in the cave, and Saul happens to come in to lay down and go to sleep. Looks like a prime opportunity to correct all of this. The men of David said to him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, and thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good to thee. And you remember it says here, David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. Well, that spared his life. That doesn't seem like much. But look at this next verse. It came to pass afterward, David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. He said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord. You know, that's amazing. David was anointed to be the king. He had been for a long time. And yet he would not put his hand to make a change about it. It also happened again where David had an opportunity in the 26th chapter. Saul is again asleep. David has an opportunity to take his life. His men, one of his men say, I tell you what, let me go. And I'll smite him once and he won't move from there. And David says, nope, don't do it. He's God's anointed. So then one day, the word comes that there's been a battle. And a young man, an Amalekite, happens to come up to David and said, here's the crown, here's the bracelet, it's yours. You know, somehow he must have had a knowledge that David was to be the next king. And I wonder if he also had a longing that, you know what, if I can bring these things to him, I might get some kind of a reward myself. This is in 2 Samuel, the first chapter. Because what I want to realize is we're a citizen of another country. We conduct ourselves different than the world does. And David conducted himself different. In 2 Samuel 1 and 10, this young man tells him, here's what I did. I stood on him. I killed him. He asked me to, so I killed him. David took hold on his clothes. He rent them, and likewise all the men that were with him. And then in the 14th verse, David said unto this young man, how was it that thou wast not afraid to stretch forth thine hand to destroy the Lord's anointed and put him to death? You know, David had a respect for what God had put in place until God would seek the time to change it. I'd like to think of another one. We looked at Daniel, where he said that God is able to set up a king. He's able to take down a king. You know, Daniel is now a prisoner. He will be a prisoner all of his life. He will die in captivity. That happened because of people that were not leaders, that were not living for God as they should have been. But Daniel has a choice to make. He's also a citizen of another country. He is a slave to the king. And the king has a dream. It's the dream that is going to be setting out ahead of him when he eats grass. And when God revealed to Daniel what that dream was, Daniel did not want to tell it to the king. You know what? If you weren't a citizen of this other country, you could easily say, I got a good feeling to tell him what's about to happen to him. Look at what's happened to me because of him. Did Daniel do it? No. What Daniel had was such a regard for the king that he said he was astonished. He didn't want to talk. And the king said, no, go ahead and tell me about it. And Daniel said, I wish that this dream was to your enemies. What an attitude to take. That can only come from being a citizen of another country. You remember it said Daniel had an excellent spirit within him. He didn't get that on his own. I believe he got that from those times he prayed 3 times a day in spite of what was going to happen to him if he prayed. Folks, we don't know what the future holds for us. And to me, this is not a gloom and doom message. This is a time for us to prepare and find in the scriptures, Lord, how would you have me to live in this country to where I would be prepared for that country? How can I be an example? Today we have rights. Nobody's going to be over me. I've got rights. I was thinking of Apostle Paul. In the 23rd chapter of the book of Acts, he did something. He did not realize what was happening. 23:1-5, Paul is before the council, and he's starting to give them a testimony. He said, "Men and brethren, I've lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth." And Paul said some things. Paul said to him, "God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law?" Look at that next verse. "They that stood by said, do you revile God's high priest? And he said," Paul said, "I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people." What an attitude. To be able to realize, you know what, he did wrong, but I am a citizen of another country. There is a manner for me to live in. And I want to tell you where that manner is. 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter. There is something that is very important for me to do in this time that we're living in. 1 Timothy 2:1, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men," praying for everybody, "for kings and for all that are in authority." And here's the reason: that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. There's a reason that I need to be spending a lot of time in prayer for those that are in authority. Because God is the one that can set them up and take them down. God is the one that in a night vision can speak to someone and cause them to go in a direction that I could never make a change. Let's not underestimate the power of prayer in the future. As our country seems to be spiraling in the wrong direction, Lord, help me to realize God has never been out of control. God allows these things to happen. And what he's done in these places that I've read to you today is he's given me instruction of how to conduct myself that I can have his approval on my life. Because I want to tell you, none of us would go out and do damage to somebody else's property. But you know what? The devil would like nothing more than to just get a little thought churning in my head of something that is a little less than what Christ would be. In Jeremiah, in the 29th chapter, in that chapter, the Jews had been taken into captivity. And God told them, said, "I'm the one that sent you down here. I'm the one that allowed it to happen. And now I want to tell you what to do." You remember there were other prophets that said, "You will only be here 2 years and you will be released. You will not be in trouble very long." But Jeremiah said, "The Lord has told me it'll be 70 years before you come out of this." But here's what you do: build your houses, plant your vineyards, raise your families, and do one more thing. Pray for the peace of your city. Because it's going to be in the peace of that city that you will have peace. So for all of us tonight, let's spend a whole lot more time praying for the peace of our country. It's going to be in the peace of that that I will have peace. And you know what? If I don't, I can lose my peace when all these things are happening around me. But I am thankful to know tonight I'm a citizen of another country. I'm seeking another country. And if each one of us will be faithful, we'll make heaven our home. This is just a temporary dwelling. It's a vapor. We're here for a little bit of time, and then we're gone to that other country. Lord, help me. Help us all to be faithful. Help me to be able to understand the places that the devil would like to snare me in my thoughts in the time out ahead of us. And Lord, help me to spend more time in prayer, because it's going to be in the peace of our country that I will be able to have peace, and also the best opportunity to be a help to someone else. Folks, as others around us, because if you take a look at where we are today, there will be 50% of the nation that's going to despair when the results are said. It doesn't have to be us. Folks, no matter what happens, I walk today in the Christian way. Though danger I may see, I will not fear, for the Lord is near, and He will care for me. No matter what happens, He will care for me. And may I show that by the life I live. Pray for me.